We are continuing our new sermon series, What on Earth Am I Here For? Last Sunday, Reverend Landis preached about God's knowledge about us, even before we were born. It gives us peace in our hearts to know that God knows everything about us. But sometimes it sounds very scary, right? And that we can trust in Him because He knows everything, our concerns and our future and what we are going through right now. Today, I'd like to talk about the first purpose of our life from Rick Warren's book, Purpose-Driven Life. We were planned for God's pleasure. We were planned for God's pleasure. It reminds us of Isaiah 43:21. It says, "The people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise." The first purpose of our lives is about our worship to God. We are created to worship God and to become God's pleasure. Pascal wrote in Punces, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man." Do you agree with that? Yes, in our own nature, every human being, they have yearning and desiring God in their heart. Augustine said in his book, Confessions, "Our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee." Without worshiping God, our life is void. Without the life of worship, the rest we try to find in our life is not real and satisfactory. As we worship God, the God-shaped vacuum in our hearts will be filled. And we are connected to the transcendent God in this worship. And we put spiritual and relational things first in our life. We find our rest and come to know who we are and what we are for in this worship. As Bishop Shinazi says, "Worship grants us a coherent sense of belonging, of purpose, and of future. Worship gives us the direction of our lives towards eternity and towards the value of God's kingdom. So in our worship, we orient ourselves to the will of God and also to the values of our kingdom." Robert Weber, a well-known worship theologian, simply defines worship as a meeting between God and His people. In this meeting, God becomes present to His people. And God's people respond with praise and thanksgiving. Thus, the worshiper is brought into personal contact with God, who gives meaning and purpose to life. From this encounter, the worshiper receives strength and courage to live with hope in a forlorn world. Yes, as Christians, it is not that easy to live a life in this fallen world without worshiping God. In my family, we practice our family service every week on Saturday. We used to have family service on Fridays, but as our kids, you know, growing up, there are some activities they have to join in, you know, in the afternoon of Friday. So we change our time to a Saturday. But there is a Saturday that I don't want to have worship with my family because sometimes I feel like I'm kind of busy. I have to do something today. And sometimes I feel like, Oh, I just want to be by myself today. I don't know why. But that doesn't happen all the time. But strange thing happen when I have time of worship with my family members. And one day, it was the same day, I didn't want to worship. I just want to have my own time today. But I know I have to do that because I promised with my children to have worship time weekly. And my son Abram came to me and said, Daddy, what time are we going to get together for worship? I just responded without any hesitation, in an hour. But when I joined the worship, I realized something mysterious happened during the worship. God touches my heart, and also God touches my children's heart. And then after that worship, I really find the strength and power as I join the worship together with my family. I do believe many of us have experienced that kind of a thing in our worship. This is the time we can experience mysterious things from heaven. And God touches our lives and reveals His purpose for our lives. And without worship, God, worshiping God, it is not easy to live a life of this fallen world. Yes, we are created to worship God, and also we worship God. Also, as we worship God, we find the meaning and purpose of our lives. Apostle Peter urges us in 1 Peter chapter 3, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you are living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. We are worshipers of God, and we are to be ready to share with anyone who asks why we worship God. Why do you worship God? What is your motivation for worship? When I was young, my motivation of worship was 10 cents in my pocket money from my grandma. She used to give me 20 cents every Sunday to go to church. She said, 10 cents is for God, and the other 10 cents is for you. I was really tempted to have all 20 cents in my pocket. I'm serious, yes. I only had to spend 2 hours at the church on Sundays, 1 hour for worship and the other 1 hour for Sunday school. It was a great deal at the time. I really miss her, because she was the one who taught me how to pray. And also she pushed me all the time to go to church, not to forget to go to church. I'm so glad she did that for me. And why do you worship? We worship God because He's our God. It's very simple. In Revelation chapter 4, I'd like you to read the whole chapter of Revelation when you go home, because that chapter teaches us how we should worship God. In Revelation chapter 4, we find the two groups of heavenly beings in worship. One group is of four living creatures. They look like a lion, an ox, and a human being, and a flying eagle, respectively. Each of them has 6 wings, and they are covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night, they never stop singing, which means they praise God all the time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We worship God simply because He is our God. There is none other besides Him. He is high, holy, and lifted up. He alone is God, the Almighty, the King of the universe, and the Lord of all. That is the reason we worship God. We have this confession about God when we get together for our public worship service on Sundays and Wednesdays. And also when we go out to the world, where we have been called to serve. We go out there with this knowledge that we worship God wherever we are. Yes, God is eternal. God knows about everything. God's existence, His completeness, His purpose, and His promise are unchangeable and immutable. God is all-powerful. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. Even if we walk through the darkest valley in our lives, God is with us. So we are not afraid. King David confessed, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me." That is the reason we worship God. He is our God, and our God is always with us, and He never gives up on us. And God is good all the time. That is the reason we worship God. Second reason is this: we worship God because God is our creator and sustainer. I believe you are familiar with the scripture Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I'm God." And then right after that, God says this to us: "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." If we have the right knowledge about God, we cannot help but praise God in our life. Yes, God is our creator, and also God is our sustainer. Because of that knowledge, we praise God. The other worshiping group in Revelation 4 is of the 24 elders in heaven. They fall before God who sits on the throne, and they worship Him. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." God is author of creation. God has created us in His own image. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them." Yes, we are blessed with the fact that we are created in the image of God. And what is God's image? God's image is a certain moral, ethical, intellectual, and spiritual abilities. Some say that it is about the qualities of self-consciousness, God consciousness, freedom, responsibility, speech, and moral discernment, etc. However, one of the recent interpretations is this: we are created as relational beings in the image of God. Our relationship with God and our relationship with the creation as God's stewards. Relationship with God naturally produces worship of God. Because of God's relationship with us, God saves us, protects us, provides us, and sometimes even challenges us. Because God has a relationship with us. In return, we praise God and we worship God. When we have a problem with God, we intentionally avoid being present in worship. Also, Revelation 4:11 says that we live and exist because of the will of God. Your life and your children's lives fully depend on God's will. Now we have problems with North Korea. I'm so grateful that one of our church members, you know, came to me and say, I'm praying for your country. I'm so grateful about that. Please keep praying for my country, South Korea and North Korea, especially for the unification of North and South Korea. The ultimate destinies of the United States, and even North Korea are in the hands of God, not the nuclear weapons, not the harsh remarks from the mouths of our leaders. Our destinies in the hands of God. The more we see the difficulties in our lives, the more we should come to the presence of God in our worship, because God is our sustainer. Jesus says, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. God is our creator and sustainer. This is the second reason why we worship God. Do we believe in the fact that God is our creator and sustainer? Also, do we believe that all the people in the world, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, and even atheists, have the same creator and sustainer in their lives? I thought you would say amen about that. When it comes to worship, there are only two kinds of people: those who are worshiping God or those who are worshiping themselves. There was a caregiver who had been working as a social worker in the Chicago area. Actually, she is my pastor friend's wife. She used to visit an old lady who had been in an assisted living facility for years. Her husband passed away several years ago. Even her children had already been called home from God because she was an old lady. She was alone, and she didn't have any friends left. She couldn't find a reason for her existence. So she always asked her caregiver, who came to see her once a week, about why she needed to leave. So that the caregiver, she shared different kinds of scriptures. And this scripture is one of them. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will, they existed and were created. When she shared this in a scripture, the old lady asked her this question: what shall I do? Is there anything that I can do for God? And she replied, you can worship God. I know you have Sunday worship service here on every Sunday night. Please go there and worship God. And also you can pray for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Pray for them to remain in Jesus Christ continually. Also you can pray for the staff members working here. And also you can pray for me too. If you can continually praise God and worship God and pray to God, and God will show you what to do next. She shared this story with me. Yes, we are created to worship God because God is our creator, and also God is our sustainer. Last but not least, we worship God because God has recreated us in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat it for you. We worship God because God has recreated us in Christ Jesus. Let us read together Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 in the screen. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We praise God because of the new life we have in Jesus Christ. Do we still have this excitement of our new being in Jesus? When you came to worship today, is the fact that our Creator died on the cross for you is the source of your motivation for worship? Yes, we are saved. That is the reason for our worship. And we are supposed to worship our God to the end of our life because of that fact. We also praise God because we are in the process of restoring the broken image of God in us. Since we met Jesus Christ in our life, God has started a special program that rebuilds us to become like Jesus Christ. God is working on us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus Christ, to become a more loving person. That is why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, God prepared good works for us beforehand to be our way of life. One of the good works God prepared for us is worship. In worship, we are being transformed by God to reveal the aroma of Christ in the world. That is why worship is transformational and missiological at the same time. This is my prayer for this year. God, I want to grow more in our love for you and in our love for the people around us. Lord, I want to grow more in my knowledge about you this year. The more we have knowledge about God, the more we can love others. I hope this will be your prayer for this year. Loving, growing in love and knowledge about God. And that will lead us to pray God, praise God, and worship God. God's hands are on us, and we will become more like Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we praise and worship God. In Mark 7, 6, Jesus quotes the scripture from Isaiah to scold the religious leaders in his time for their hypocritical attitudes of worship towards God. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How is your heart? God claims us as he claimed Jesus Christ on the cross. That was Jesus Christ's worship. God wants us to know that he is our creator, sustainer, recreator, and rebuilder. Yes, his mighty hands on us right now. To worship God, it costs our whole beings, even our thoughts and minds. I'd like to close my message with John Wesley's story. When John Wesley was a curate, which means associate pastor to his father's church in Epworth and Root, at the time he was around 24 or 25 years old, he had developed a conviction of the absolute impossibility of being half a Christian. Is there any half a Christian here? Can you raise your hand? Are you three quarters? No, there are no such words. Half Christians and three quarters Christians, or part-time Christians, or Sunday Christians. He said, I'm determined through His grace, the absolute necessity of which I was deeply sensible of, to be all devoted to God, to give Him all my soul, my body, and my substance. Will any considerate man say that this is carrying matters too far? Or that anything less is due to Him who has given Himself for us? Than to give Him ourselves, all we have and all we are? What are your answers to the questions? Did you give your life, your whole life, to God in this worship? Some Wesley historians believe that it is John Wesley's first conversion story before his well-known conversion experience at Aldersgate in 1738. Yes, conversions can happen a lot in our lives, continually. He realized that we are to give ourselves all we have and all we are, even our